A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We have the privilege of starting Maseches Yuma. So Yuma Daf Beis, which is, I guess, technically page 3, but it's the first page of the Masechta, starting with the word Shivas. The Masechta of Yuma is referring to the day of the year, referring to Yom Kippur, a most momentous day, the day of Kapara, a day that literally goes to the essence of humanity, the ability to have atonement. And the Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol, the leading person who's going to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that the Beis HaMikdash stood, would have special laws in which he was sequestered, separated, designated for 7 days before Yom Kippur, in the form of a preparation. So the Mishnah tells us, Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom HaKippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishim Kohen Gadol Mibeso, they would separate the Kohen Gadol from his house, Lelishkas Parhedrin, to a special room, the room of Parhedrin, Umaskinin Lo Kohen Achar Tachtov, and they would also designate another Kohen under him, prepared to replace him if necessary, Shema Yera Bo Psul, in case a problem crops up with him. And as the Gemara will explain, that also was an impetus for the Kohen Gadol to make sure that he remained pure, because once he saw the person on the sidelines prepared to take over, that was an additional impetus that he really understood that he had to be careful. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. 7 days before Yom Kippur, he was sequestered, and they appointed a second Kohen, just in case. Rabbi Yehuda continues and tells us, Afisha acheres maskinin lo, they also designated another woman as a potential wife. Shema tamas ishto, lest his wife die, and he would need to be married to somebody. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso, beso zu ishto. The Pasuk says that he should atone for himself and his house. House means his wife. There's a household. And therefore, we need the Kohen Gadol to be married. Amru lo, they told him. The Chachamim responded. Majority opinion responded. Im kain, if I understand you want him to have a wife. That I understand. But if you're going to start worrying that his wife is going to die, and therefore you're getting ready with a second woman, imkain, if you're going to worry about death, ein ladavar sof, then there's no end to what you could worry about. In other words, it's like worrying about conspiracy theories. It's like starting to worry about things that are not proper to worry about. If you're going to worry about every eventuality, then there's no end. So we have to cut it at a certain point. And reasonable is to assume that people are going to live. She's alive now, she'll be alive tomorrow. We don't have to worry about that. But what does seem true is that they are agreeing that it is proper that he should be married. And this shows up in Halacha, in fact, that the Chazan, who's designated to lead the congregation in prayer on Yom Kippur, it's brought, even though it's not a law, he's not the Kohen Gadol, but it is brought that there is a preference for him to be a married person. Physically married, there is such a preference. Not enough to disqualify, it depends, you'll ask your Rav if such a case arises, but there is such a concept extrapolated from the law of the Kohen Gadol. Now, there is an interesting literature that shows up over here because of this topic of if someone will die, to ascertain what are indeed our concerns of a person dying in the imminent future. The question, for example, shows up in some literature regarding Kiddush Levana, pushing off Kiddush Levana because you'd rather do it on a Matzoi Shabbos when you're dressed in your Shabbos clothes and you're in a good mood, as opposed to doing it earlier in the week as soon as it becomes visible. So we definitely, if it's just a few days, are willing to push it off and try Matzei Shabbos because of that preference. And clearly, we don't view this concern of maybe someone will die to be of imminent concern. There's also a fascinating machlokes, Kiddushin Daf Lamed, regarding a person dividing his learning in thirds. And the Gemara maintains that a person should divide his learning in thirds, Chumash, Mishnayos, and Gemara application halacha. So, however you divide in thirds, but what are you dividing in thirds? Are you dividing the days? Each day I should learn of these three categories? Or, as Rashi writes it, Yemei HaShavua, he should divide the days of the week. Tosfos asks, if you divide the days of the week, how do you know how many days you're going to live? If a person dies on a Tuesday, so then he ended up doing the first 2 days of the week in one category, he did 1 day part of it in the second category, and he missed the third category, it's not exactly a shalish, and the Gemara over there seemed to say that we want to get it right. And Tosfos says it means every day, to divide the day, because then within that actual day, you don't have to assume that you're going to die. There's like a 24-hour cycle that a person's allowed to plan. But again, it depends on the mitzvah, it depends on different things, but it is a fascinating topic. How much do we anticipate that a person is going to die in the imminent future? Let's drop down to the bottom of the page, about 13 lines from the bottom. At the end of a line, Mino Hani Mili. The Gemara says, Mino Hani Mili, how do we know this concept of sequestering? Omar Rav Min Yumi Bar Chilki, Omar Rav Mechasya Bar Idi, Omar Rav Yechanan. Omar Kra, it's based on a pasuk. Kasher Osa Bayom Azeh, as Hashem commanded, as they did on this day, Tziva Hashem Lasos Lechapar Aleichem, Hashem commanded that they should do again in the future. And the words Lechapar Aleichem, to atone for you, refers to Yom Kippur, that you should do it when you're ready to atone each year. You should do the same concept. And what was the concept that they did by the Miluim, by the inauguration of the Mishkan? They did a 7-day preparation, sequestering, by the Pesach Ohel Moed, by the opening to the Mishkan, and similarly, they would do the sequestering of the Kohen Gadol at that wall of the entrance into the Beis Hamikdash. This Gemara also tells us that La'asos, also a word in that pasuk, tells us that not only by Yom HaKippurim, which is the primary subject of our Masechta, but they also did such a sequestering by the person who would do the Parah Aduma. La'asos Elu Ma'asei Parah. L'chaper Elu Ma'asei Yom HaKippurim. Besides Yom Kippur, they also did it by the Parah Aduma Kohen. He would also be sequestered for 7 days before bringing the Parah Aduma. Let's see that Gemara climbing up to the same page, but starting from the Gemara. So we're counting down from the top of the page, about 8 lines. Beginning of the line, Gemara. Tanan Hasam, we learnt over there. Shivas Yamim Kodim Sreifas Hapara, before they would burn the cow. That story that's brought in Parshas Chukas, that mitzvah. They would separate the Kohen who would do it to a certain room inside the Beis HaMikdash complex. Tzafono Mizracha, it was a northeastern room. Velishkas Beis HaEvenos HaNikris, and they called it the Room of the Stone. Veloma Nikris Shmo Lishkas Beis HaEven, why was it called the Room of the Stone? Which makes it very special that Tumah cannot affect the room, and they were very careful with its utensils. It was a very high level of purity. Shakom asel b'kli gulolim b'kli avonim b'kli adoma, because they only used stone type things so that it would not become tame. My time, or why were they so careful? Fascinating factor. Kevan de tevul yom kasher bepara, because a tevul yom, a person who went to mikvah on that day, even before sunset comes, he's already considered pure. As far as the para aduma goes, even though for other areas he has to wait for sunset. The tanan, or nightfall, actually. The tanan, as we learned, metamim hayu akoin aseref esapara matvilim osalotzi miliban shal tzedukim, shayu omrim b'ma'orvei ha-shemesh taisanasis. A little bit of a complex concept here. The tzedukim, the Jews who did not believe in Jewish tradition, held a more strict position. They held that the person who was tamei, in order to bring the para aduma, would have to go to mikvah and experience nightfall. So in order to exclude ourselves from their view, we would purposely make the kohen tamei and send him to mikvah, and then have him bring the para aduma, in order to exclude them from our discussions and from our traditions, make it clear that the person who brings the para can be a person who just went to mikvah, even without nightfall. But because we're doing such a massive leniency, because we want to exclude from their divergent views, Takinu l'rabbonon, the rabbis legislated an extra stringency, kli glolim, kli avonim, kli adoma, that the kohen during his sequestering period for para aduma was held in a room that's lo l'kablu tuma, that has nothing to do with tuma. So powerful in its level of purity, because we knew ki eched el lizalzeluba, because we end up being very lenient by making him tame right before he brings the para and then sending him to mikvah, so they made the original sequestering a very high level of purity. Now, Tosfos points out that certainly when they made him tamei, they didn't undo their whole sequestering levels of purity and everything else, and they didn't make him tamei with a tumah d'oraisa, with a true biblical level of tumah. They were metamei him with a very light level, some tumah d'rabbanan, some rabbinic thing. The problem with that, of course, is that the tzedukim don't agree with rabbinic legislations, and that means they're being metamehim with something the tzedukim don't agree with. And if you follow the logic, the tzedukim don't feel the need for him to go to mikvah because they don't hold the tumah you just did has any impact. So how did we exclude ourselves from the Liban Shal Tzedukim, from the view of the Tzedukim that it requires nightfall? The type of tumah you use doesn't require anything either way, according to them. And the answer, according to the Tosfos Yom Tov, is that it wasn't so much that we were arguing with them in the Beis Medrash, so to speak, whether they hold it's tumah and needs mikvah and nightfall, or we hold it is tamei, it's not tamei, it's not a Beis Medrash dialogue. It was a dialogue, as the Mishnah in Parah describes, what people will say. And as long as we were metamehim with some level light tumah, and then made him go to mikvah, anybody who was there knew and remembered that we made the kohen go to mikvah, and immediately after that allowed him to bring the para aduma. And that's all we needed. We needed that the next generation, the population, should be aware that the tzedukim's interpretation of para aduma and its purity required was not valid. And therefore, as long as we were metamehim somehow, sent him to mikvah, that would be sufficient. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.